Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. In hour number three, next hour, we've got Lindsay Berra, the granddaughter of Yogi Berra. There's a documentary coming out called It Ain't Over. She is part of that. We'll have her at the top of hour number three to talk about her grandfather's legacy. Really interesting because Yogi Berra was a great, great baseball player. But a lot of people don't remember him as a great baseball player because they remember Yogi Berra for a lot of the quips that he had and a lot of the funny sayings. But his statistics are crazy. He won 10 World Series titles. He went to 15 All-Star games, had a long career. He caught Don Larsen's perfect game in the World Series. Like, there's so many. He's part of one of the greatest Yankee eras ever. And yet, people think he's this kind of cartoonish baseball player that had funny sayings. And so this documentary, with a lot of like authoritative voices in it, is coming out, and it's making its rounds to theaters all over the summer, to sort of really highlight the legacy of Yogi Berra. And what's interesting is that there are times in sports where this happens to individuals, where they do something else or they become known for something else, and sometimes you forget how really good they were at playing football. Now, like, for example, I don't think that will happen to Peyton Manning for future generations. If Manning becomes a broadcaster or he becomes, you know, a really, really good broadcaster, I don't know if somebody who's like 2 years old today and then becomes a teenager watching a 50-plus-year-old, 60-year-old Manning on TV will have to ask their father how good Peyton Manning was. I think there are some players that sort of really do, they do live through the generations. But there are some that don't. There are some where it takes a generation before you to sort of remind you how good that player was. And Lindsay Berra, the granddaughter of Yogi Berra, is trying to do that because her father was a phenomenal baseball player but is never recognized as such like some of the greats in the game. And again, a lot of it has to do with image. I'll give an example. When I was a kid, Alex Karras was the dad on Webster. And he was a former NFL player, played for the Detroit Lions and whatnot. And I knew him as the dad from Webster. But I also knew he played in the NFL. But luckily in my life, I had a father who knew football. And I had an uncle, my Uncle Terry, who knew football. And they had to remind little Tony D that Alex Karras was a really good football player. Dick Butkus was sort of the same thing. Dick Butkus became an actor. He was on a couple of shows. He was on My Two Dads. I think he was on one of the helicopter shows too. I think it was either Blue Thunder or Airwolf.
Well, I think he guest starred in a lot too.
Yeah, he guest starred in a lot of things. He found his second career in Hollywood. But it also came at a time that I was young. You know, and while I loved football and I read a lot about football, I knew Dick Butkus played in the NFL. Again, my father and my Uncle Terry had to remind 10-year-old me, or had to tell 10-year-old me, that he was really good, really, really good. And that sort of gets, you know, that's sort of what happens to players who find a second identity as they get older and as they do something else and they get known for something else. A generation comes and only knows them for that thing. I wonder about John Madden, for example. I mean, kids grew up, they play the Madden football game. They may have never heard him say anything on a television broadcast, but did they know he was a phenomenal coach? He was a really good coach, a Super Bowl winning coach who left the game way early. I mean, he was in his 30s and he won a Super Bowl and left the game. That's what can happen. And for Yogi Berra, that's kind of what happened. He was in all these commercials and he was a spokesperson with the quips and the little funny sayings. And Lindsay Berra is going to join us at the top of the hour. But it was sort of phenomenal. It's like when I was reading a little bit about this documentary, an author in Arizona wrote a review of this, had a really good point. It's like Charles Barkley. Think about kids today watching the NBA and watching Shaq and Barkley and Kenny Smith and, Ernie's all talk on TV, and Charles is making these jokes, and he's in ads. You're going to be surprised, right? Like, he's funny. He can't golf, right? Do kids today know Barkley is considered one of the greatest basketball players? He's on the list of greatest basketball players to have ever played in the NBA.
It's funny that you bring it up, because that was one of the on this day in sports history I was looking at.
Yeah,
because on this day he was awarded the MVP.
Right, sure.
With the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it was in '93.
Yeah, led to the finals appearance.
Yeah,
and so. Absolutely that can happen, right? That absolutely can happen when a young generation just knows an athlete for this, because that's what they're doing today at 40, 50 years old. And you sort of have to remind them, oh, wait, when you didn't get to see him play, you weren't born yet when he played. And he was great. He was absolutely great. Now, here's the interesting thing. Other athletes don't do that because they don't do other things. They're not known for something else. Like, you know, Larry Bird was a coach and everything, but Larry Bird is Larry Bird. Magic Johnson's an owner. He's a businessman, but he's Magic Johnson. Michael Jordan, the same thing, right? He's Michael Jordan. But others, because they get known for being an actor or a broadcaster or something else, politician, right? Bill Bradley. Bill Bradley's another one. Bill Bradley was a senator from New Jersey. Like, luckily I had a father who rooted for the Knicks, who knew how good Bill Bradley was in the NBA, right? Like those are the things I had to learn from a generation that knew them for something else. And so that's kind of part of this documentary, but there's a larger kind of issue here in sports is sometimes there are certain athletes that never, ever, ever leave their greatness. Their greatness is always defined. But some, because they do X, Y, and Z, and that's what they sort of get known for, you almost forget that at one time they were really dominant in the sport of their choosing. And that's kind of where this documentary is going. So we'll talk to her coming up. We'll also talk to Cam Rogers about some golf in hour three as well.
I mean, if you were to sit there and say, hey, Tony, list the top 10 catchers of all time. I mean, he probably would make that list.
Right.
But, I mean, he's certainly worthy enough of being in the top five.
Sure.
And you wouldn't even consider it.
Yeah, I'm gonna get her to recant the story she tells in the documentary. But just in hindsight, in a quick review, she talks about in the documentary that she's watching an All-Star game with her grandfather, and when he was alive, like 2015 or something, and the fans voted for the greatest living ball players of all time. Like Sandy Koufax is there, Hank Aaron is there, yeah. Willie Mays there, and Johnny Bench. And she turns to her grandfather and says, are you dead? And he goes, not yet. Like, it's like she's realizing they're not recognizing my grandfather as one of the greatest players of all time. Why? And that's kind of leads to this documentary of finding out, yeah, people just think he said, it ain't over till it's over, which people think he may never have actually said it like that. Like, I mean, there's a lot of quips that get attributed to Yogi that he didn't quite say in those contexts. But that's how we grow. You know, Billy Martin is the same kind of thing. Billy Martin was a really good baseball player. What do we know him for? Getting fired from George Steinbrenner.
Like right? three like, times.
And, yeah, and managing the A's and, you know, but mostly getting fired by George Steinbrenner. Kicking dirt and getting fired from George Steinbrenner.
The press conference where he says, you ain't fired me yet.
You ain't fired me yet. Yeah, exactly.
Fire me. You haven't hired me or something
like
that.
Exactly. Hey, with so many bottles to choose from, there's always something new to try at Total Wine and More. How about a great Prosecco for under $8 or French Rosé for under $7? With the lowest prices for over 30 years, find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. B21. So we've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. Game 5, of course, tonight as the NBA is praying that this thing lasts longer and goes a little bit more. Don't be surprised if the final box score is Miami 3-for-4 from the free throw line and Boston 31-of-38 from the free throw line. Don't be surprised if you see that box score tomorrow. Miami is wanting to get out of this thing. The NBA is begging the gods for the continuation of a series. It's going to go Memorial Day weekend without any basketball. Seriously? It's going to leave itself up to motorsports. That's our weekend. Baseball and motorsports. NBA is like, you got to be kidding me. One of my favorite memories as youth was NBA. The NBA finals used to be on Memorial Day, around Memorial Day. Memorial Day Massacre, 1985. Boston beating the Lakers, only to lose the series in six games. It used to, you know, occur around that time. So the NBA not being around Memorial Day weekend, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But, yeah, because the Nuggets did what they were supposed to do, beat a Lakers team in four straight, and Miami could wrap this up in five, and then they got to go a whole week without playing. Adam Silver's like, I'm not saying make Boston win, but please, please do something. Conspiracy theories are fun, aren't they? Everyone loves a conspiracy theory. Everyone loves it. Everyone loves it. Oh, the refs. Oh, they're manipulating the game. Yeah, sure they are. Yeah, sure. But don't get me wrong. You can help, but you can't manipulate a game entirely. But they are fun. You watch that tonight. You watch how many times Boston goes to the free throw line. That's how the Sacramento Kings, that's how the remember the big argument on the Kings Lakers series back in what, 02? 2002, that series? Was if you looked at the box score, the Lakers went to the free throw line a billion times,
yeah,
and Sacramento didn't, especially in the fourth quarter. Like, they went to the free throw line a whole bunch of times.
Well,
in the fourth,
you know, in fairness, though, that was when they were doing the hack-a-shack.
Yeah, that's right. That's
like,
right.
You know, you didn't really take Shaq out of the game because you needed him on defense, but a guy couldn't make a free throw to save his life.
You ever hear Shaq talk about his meeting with David Stern about that?
No.
It's really interesting. Shaq talked about a meeting with David Stern where it was very young in his career, and he said, because he said, Mr. Commissioner, he goes, if everyone keeps hacking me, you're going to have to throw me out of games. Because he's like, he's fed up. And David Stern said, Shaq, if we called every foul on you, the game would last 4 hours. I care about the game. So Shaq realized, all right, I got to rise above this. I'm not going to get any help. I got to be better than this. I got to withstand it. And he said he really gave me an insight into the overall picture of what he was trying to do with the NBA, make it entertaining. And then he said, all right, I changed the way I approached it.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's a Throwback Thursday. Good, the bad, and the dumb. By the way, 1986 is our Throwback Thursday for Hands Across America. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Well, let's get the good of the day.
Good of the day. Good of the day has to go to an Idaho high school student.
Okay.
On Saturday, he won two state titles in two different sports in two different cities.
Oh, my God.
Which were 130 miles apart.
What? All right, let's get this story. Go ahead.
So, Brody Birch. We're giving a shout-out to Brody Birch of Pocatello High School. So at 3:30 p.m., he won the 800 meters at the state track meet just outside of Boise, Idaho.
Okay.
His dad used to work for the fire department and was a fire plane or a jumper from a fire plane. I'm not sure. He flew planes. So he knew people who flew planes, was able to schedule a plane flight on a private plane from Pocatello, or from Boise, Idaho, up back to, it's like Meridian, Idaho, or something. I don't know. I don't know Idaho too well. But it was 130 miles apart, so he can make it to his baseball game, which started at 5 p.m.
Wow, that's pushing it.
So he ran track at 3:30, won his state championship. You know, you got to get there. You got to get the medal and stand on the podium, get recognized. Changed uniforms on the way to the airport, jumped in a plane, flew, made it there. I think he showed up a little bit after 5 o'clock, but was able to get some key at-bats in, and he was the team's came in relief, pitched the final four innings, striking out four batters.
That is remarkable. But, like, even when you think, like, even private planes, you still have to kind of get there. You kind of have to get on the plane. You got to get cleared for takeoff. You got to look at all that. That's amazing that in 90 minutes, he went from completing a race and in a baseball game 100 and something miles away.
Yes.
That is remarkable. That is amazing timing. That's great. That's fantastic.
I mean,
what a story.
I mean, parents are sitting there. You're all at the dinner table, and you're sitting there like, okay, we got to figure out a way to do this.
Yeah, you got to make it happen.
You know, he wins his qualifying meet in the 800s. Like, oh, you're qualified for state. You got to go to that.
Yeah,
but the baseball
cost.
Team.
I wonder how much that cost to, like, like the buddy who had the plane, like you probably want to pay for gas, right?
Right. Yeah. I don't think, I mean, he's not really chartering
yeah,
a full
flight. He's not
chartering
a private jet, but he'd probably go like, all right, well, how much does it cost for gas? I don't know. $600 like whatever it is. All right. Don't worry about it. We got it. We'll pay for it. Yeah. That's great. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So, yeah, I mean, that's
what
something
a day.
You can, yeah, you can hold on to, you can, I mean, you can tell grandkids about that. Like, kids, I won two state championships in two different sports in two different cities.
I would, I wonder if he had siblings, because if I was a dad, I would say, hey, film your brother the whole process. Like, get your phone.
Yeah.
We're filming everything. Film the race, the drive to the airport, the flight, the baseball game. Have it all on your camera, because we're gonna slap a little, mini
better
documentary
it,
about
yeah.
this. Yeah.
So
exactly.
That's awesome.
That's great. All right, what's the bad of the day?
Oh, the bad of the day, Tony, that there's a new team name coming to the NFL again. Possibly.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Possibly a new team name coming to the NFL. A team may have to change their name again.
Again?
Yes, and I'm referring to the Washington Commanders.
Okay, is this because the new ownership doesn't like Commanders?
No, it's because the trademark application has been denied.
Oh, so they don't even get to have this.
You know, I mean, they can still use the name Washington Commanders. They just can't trademark the name Washington Commanders because apparently, I guess it's owned by somebody else.
Wow, okay. Who owns it?
Some guy in D.C.
Some guy in D.C. owns the Commanders.
Yeah.
Didn't this process – okay. Years ago, weren't we all buzzing about this, that there was a lot of pressure on Washington to change its name, and then a bunch of people just ran and started getting every possible comp name they could that the Washington organization could put together and bought it?
Yeah, there's two different people actually own the name.
Oh, okay.
Commanders. One of them is because there's an existing registration for Commanders Classic, which
right.
is the yearly college football game between the Air Force and Army teams.
All right. So, okay.
So, I mean,
right.
that, so, you know, but you probably have never heard of that before, that those two teams play against each other, Tony.
So what, yeah, right. But let's get back to the Commanders for a second. So what do they do now? They have to find something that's not trademarked?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
And then the second reason the Commanders trademark was refused was due to pending applications for Washington Space Commanders and Washington Wolf Commanders.
That's it. No, just dump it. Dump it.
So
dump
the filings were made by Martin McCauley, a D.C. area man who filed the trademarks trying to guess the new team name.
So, okay, so if you just bought the team, what was the guy's name, Josh Harris, I think, about this
yeah.
team? If you just bought this team, what's the worst that can happen if you stay with Commanders? You have to pay this person a yearly siphon, you have to give him a cut of everything.
Yeah,
that's got Commanders on it.
I guess so.
Yeah, eject. Get every lawyer you can. Eject out of this thing. Start figuring out a new name immediately.
Not only that, but no one liked it.
No one liked it, right? No one liked it.
Everyone thought of a different name. No one liked that name. So
yeah.
Eject.
Even if they tried to put it in the military context, it didn't work. It doesn't roll off the tongue easy.
Right.
It. Again, I understand what they were trying to do in the honoring the you know the Commanders, Commander in Chief. There's command, you know, whatever. But it seemed, this is no insult. I'm not trying to insult the Commanders of our country, but it seemed pedestrian. It seemed rather basic.
Right.
It's like if you had a brand new high school and you're like, we need a mascot, and somebody said Lions, and you went, well, everyone's Lions. How about Tigers? Everyone's Tigers. Can we do something different?
A Commanders.
We do the Wombats or something. Yeah.
I have a great idea, Commanders. Why don't you reach out to the people of the Seattle Kraken?
Yeah, the Kraken did a great job.
They hit a home run.
That is exactly right. They hit a home run. Logo, design, it's a great, it's a cool name to say.
Yeah.
I would love to be a broadcaster, the Kraken. I would say Kraken in a way that would make me, like, love.
Kraken.
Yeah. Kraken! Like, I would say it every time they did something awesome.
But
exactly.
Because, I mean, they did. They hit a home run. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it may be too late this season for the Washington Commanders to change their name,
but
I think the writing's on the wall.
I would be all over it if I was the new ownership group. I'd be I'd be hiring a crew just to get us out of that. Because
you can't trade, and you want to trademark it,
right? Absolutely.
Because you want to print it on everything.
Come up with something so different nobody has it, and it's ours, and it sounds cool, and get people on it thinking about it 24/7.
And if you're a new owner, you don't want to be paying this guy like 10 cents of every dollar or something.
No, you don't want to be writing a check to this guy. Forget that. What are they called? The people who buy web names and stuff, and like. The squatters or something like that.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to be doing that. No, sorry. And we're not giving you, no, and I'm not giving you $1 million to relinquish the rights. No. I may be a billionaire, but I'm not dumb. Sorry. We'll just change the name. I'd rather have it cost me more to do that than pay you.
Yep.
Or
pay the fine through the NFL because if like you wait too long to change the name, the NFL says, well, you got to pay a fine because you got to buy up all the jerseys or all the gear. So
no,
I'd rather pay for that.
Right. Exactly.
And then do some charitable work and ship that off to another country where they think the Buffalo Bills are the greatest team ever.
Adam Carolla talked about this one time. He said a neighbor was trying to shake him down for money because something about his property. And he says, you know what? It's going to cost me more to get a lawyer to stop this nonsense, but I'm going to do that rather than pay you.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? I got it. I got the money. I'd rather spend more on a lawyer to shut you down than you shaking me down for money. So we're going to do that. That's what I would do if I owned the Commanders. Like, no, we're not. We're not shaking me down. I'm changing the name. It may cost me 10 times more than paying you off, but I'm doing that. That's how I would flex my monetary muscle. All right, we don't have time for the dumb, so we're going to get to that coming up in the next segment. Robert on Twitter wanted to remind us that Yogi Berra had a moderate success in Queens with the Mets as well. All right, yeah, good point, Robert.
Yeah.
Good point, that's right. So we want to.
Wasn't he a manager there too?
I think so, yeah. I think so.
I think he was a manager.
He spent 50 years in baseball after his, he spent a lot of time in baseball. After just being a spokesperson and a manager and just somebody, so he had a great life.
Yeah, he did.
A lot of those guys. Don Zimmer was the same way. It was like Don Zimmer was in baseball for like 60 years.
Yeah, I do have a Yogi Berra autographed baseball.
Do you?
I do.
That's awesome.
I do.
That's awesome.
Not 100% sure where it is. I think it's on my mantle of because I do have some like autographed baseballs that I've received as gifts over the years.
Sure.
So,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I do have a few, but I'm pretty certain I have a Yogi Berra autograph.
Hey, and one thing she did say in the documentary that Yogi's son Dale, who is her uncle, he had a lot of drug problems, and they don't shy away from that struggle that Yogi had. So it's not one of those documentaries that's just, hey, wasn't my grandfather awesome? She talks about his family.
Well, you got to have something dark, too.
Yeah, because Dale Berra did have some, in the 80s, I think, had some real trouble with addiction. And they don't shy away from it. So we'll talk to her at the top of the hour. But we'll get the dumb next on a Throwback Thursday. It's Wake Up Call.
You must understand the touch of your hand makes my folks react.
This is Wake Up Call. On the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
The one and only Tina Turner on a Throwback Thursday passed away yesterday at the age of 83. Tina Turner, fantastic.
Yeah.
1986 is our Throwback Thursday. Hands Across America happened on this date. And for those of you who don't know what that is, we actually tried an attempt to link hand by hand people from Santa Monica to New York City to raise money for homelessness. And we almost pulled it off. Couple of gaps, but they almost pulled it off on this date in 1986.
Still an amazing
idea. My God,
idea.
It still blows me away. What? It still blows me away. The more we research some of these Throwback Thursday historical moments, the more I go, what? I need a documentary on this.
Yes.
I need a documentary on this, on how.
There's got to be one out there, right?
There's got to be one where they came up with the idea. What was the reaction? How did they organize this? I mean, everything.
I don't think there was, because when I was looking it up earlier. Because, there's like, I'm looking on Wikipedia, and I know that's where you get all your greatest stuff.
Right.
But Hands Across America, the legacy of Hands Across America, it was featured in a Michael Jackson video. The Simpsons in 1992 talked about it. It was featured in the horror film Us by Jordan Peele, and it was the Goldbergs. That's it.
Wow.
So there is no documentary.
Is there anybody out there curious enough? I mean, are we the only ones that were curious as to how the hell this thing was put together?
Because I mean, yeah, because literally, you and I—we said this in the first hour. It was phone. It was, I mean, radio interviews. It was TV commercials. It was news talking about. That was it.
That's it. No TikTok. No internet. No.
No.
Nothing. So, I would love to talk to somebody who participated in it. How did it work?
Yeah.
Like, how did it work? Did you, when you showed up, like, think about this. Somebody has to be linking hands on a state road in the middle of nowhere, right? Like, some people had to be there. So it's one thing to be like, oh, yeah, you know, it's in Springfield and I live 10 minutes away. I'll just go down there.
Right.
No, they had to be like, no, actually, we got enough people here. If you wouldn't mind going 50 miles in that direction towards nowhere and meet up with Susan, she'll set you up with how this is going to be. Like, think like.
Yeah, you're talking about the 50-mile gap in between towns.
Exactly. Like, just where there's nothing. Like, we've all driven these roads where there is nothing. There's not a Burger King or a McDonald's or a gas station.
You know, nowhere. That stretch of road where you're sweating because you should have gotten gas at
that's exactly right.
Past exit, but now you're like, ah, no, I think I can push it.
Yep.
And you might have overstepped.
And you're driving going, oh, my God, there is nothing out here. I'm going to die.
I'm going to
die. The buzzards are circling my car right now, knowing they're getting a tasty meal.
Yeah. And all those horror movies come up, you know, like, well, I can walk up to that farmhouse.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I can go up to that farmhouse. Exactly. Somebody had to be on that road. So if you bought an entry fee into this thing, where did they put you? How did it work?
Right. Were you assigned a spot?
I would love the answer to Hands Across America and how this was put together.
Like, you thought you were going to get it outside one of the stadiums?
Oh yeah, no,
no,
I was gonna,
I was gonna
link hands with Liza Minnelli and Harry Belafonte. I was gonna be in the middle of those two megastars. That's my spot
on the George Washington Bridge.
Exactly,
no,
on the
you
George
don't get
Washington
that
Bridge.
No, you don't get that spot.
No, you get middle of nowhere Iowa. That's you. You get to go there. That's awesome. All right, what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, Tony, is Texas A&M released the date of their maroon out. You know, a lot of college football teams do this. I mean, Penn State has the white out.
Yep.
So Texas A&M will have the maroon out November 11th of this year.
And who
are
they playing?
That's the problem, Tony.
Uh-oh.
If you could think of one SEC school that you probably wouldn't want to have a maroon out against.
Well, I normally would say Alabama.
Right.
But Georgia is the team.
No, I mean, both of those would be fine compared to who they actually chose.
Vanderbilt?
No, they actually chose Mississippi State.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're not going in the traditional competitive nature.
No, not
you're
the competitive nature.
You're coming down the part of, boy, we certainly feel comfortable in this stadium because the colors seem to match what we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So
No, that's a bad choice.
Many people were pointing out, at least Mississippi State fans will participate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And they'll participate and bring cowbells. That's what they do.
Because if you don't know, Mississippi State also wears maroon.
That's right. No, that's terrible.
Yeah.
What a terrible idea.
Yeah, I mean, you could have chosen anybody, right?
Alabama
would have been fine. Who cares? I mean, yeah, you might lose Alabama.
Why are these people running this stuff? Like, what? Again, you and I talk about this all the time when there's things that are like, that don't make sense. We go, this passed through a bunch of people before it got approved. What? Wasn't somebody in charge of this going, no, guys, no.
Was there not any one person who knew? I mean, as soon as I said Mississippi State, you know, the wheels started turning. You're like, well, wait a second. Yeah, they're maroon.
Yeah, that's right.
They got the same color uniform, the same color helmet.
God, I remember years ago, Steve Spurrier was the coach at Florida, and they went to play South Carolina. Lou Holtz was the head coach at South Carolina. And they decided South Carolina was going to do a blackout. Right, so everybody wore black.
Yeah.
Florida beat them like 58-10. And at the end of the game, Spurrier said, we want to thank the fans at South. No, actually, well, thank the fans of South Carolina for wearing black. Made our receivers see the ball easier. And I was like, we can't even
that's fantastic,
get
by the way.
Credit for something awesome. Like, we can't even do something awesome. and the head coach in Florida, who later became our head coach, which was awesome. But the head coach of Florida is picking on it, saying his receivers had no problem seeing the football due to the black backdrop of everybody wearing jerseys and stuff. Oh, God.
I mean,
awful.
And here's the thing, right? I mean, Mississippi State, if you're traveling with the team, you know, and you're a booster of the team and you're coming to see the game, you don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. It's like,
that's
I'm
right.
just going to wear Mississippi State maroon.
Why not? Yeah.
Got the maroon jersey. I'll fit right in with this crowd.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, that's not good.
Mississippi State players down in the field will look up and feel good that, hey, look, we're well represented here in Texas A&M.
No doubt.
In College Station.
Oh, God. God.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, yeah, Alabama would have been better. Georgia would have been better.
I mean, Kyle Field.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
One of the larger stadiums in all of college football, too.
Yeah.
It's a beast of a stadium.
All right.
That will be marooned out November 11th. So, you know, it'll be fun. You see the aerial view. You won't be able to tell where the Mississippi State fans are and the Texas A&M fans are.
You will not. Well, that's too bad.
Get 100% participation in this game.
By the way, I can't wait for Texas to join the SEC so that rivalry can come back. Texas, I kind of miss it.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
I mean, it's weird. I mean,
it is weird.
Ever since I've been to Houston, they haven't been a rival, obviously.
Right, right.
But there is a rivalry in the city because, you know, there's so many UT grads, there's so many Texas A&M grads that you can feel that there is a rivalry amongst them.
Right.
It's just that they haven't had a way to settle it in years.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of fun again, but you're right. Yeah, they haven't been able to do that for a while. So, anyway, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue on Sports Map Radio. Real quick, I was talking about this earlier. I want to give credit again to the Florida Panthers for winning their game last night. This hockey playoffs has been great.
It has
been absolutely fantastic. The overtime games have been plentiful. But last night, the Panthers won it in regulation with a series-deciding goal with 4 seconds remaining. A devastating goal. The Carolina Hurricanes are trying to stay alive in this series. They're in Sunrise. It's 3-3 late. The puck is in the Carolina zone, and the Panthers have it. But you're trying to, like, if we can just get through this, we will go to overtime and anything can happen. And Matthew Tkachuk scored his 9th playoff goal. Like I said earlier, he's going to win the Conn Smythe as the MVP of the playoffs. He scored. It was a power play opportunity, so you're really nervous if you're Carolina trying to hold on. 4 seconds remaining, 4.5. He scores a goal, and that's it. Done. That's it. Like, they play off the 4 seconds, and the Panthers win the Eastern Conference. And they swept Carolina in 4 games. And this Panthers team, again, 4th in the Atlantic Division, behind Boston, Toronto, and Tampa Bay, are now playing as the Eastern Conference champions. Good for them. I mean, good for them. And so they will play. They took down the top team in their own division, and they took down the top team in the Metropolitan Division. It's been great. Good for them. So the Stanley Cup is likely going to be in Miami or Las Vegas. Las Vegas leads 3-0. Dallas is kind of a mess. Jamie Benn got suspended. There's a whole bunch of the Stars just can't seem to be competitive. They gave up 3 goals in the first period in game 3. They're now down 3-0. And I know hockey's kind of a different game, but nevertheless, it's a commanding lead no matter what sport you play. So Las Vegas, Nevada, or Miami, two glitzy, glamorous cities in America, the Stanley Cup is going to be the home of one of them. And as we talked about earlier, the city of Miami with the Heat and the Panthers have done their job. Now the Heat need to do their job, and the city of Miami is having the 2 playoff teams at this time of year competing for championships. And again, I'm trying to figure out the last team. I can't think of one that won a cup and an NBA Finals in the same year. I mean, that's going to be on the what is it, Alexa? I'm going to have to ask, or Siri. I'm going to have to pull that off, or the Google machine. I'm going to have to try to see if that has ever happened. That might have happened, like, way back in the day, like in the 50s or something. I don't know. But I can't think in recent memory an NBA team and an NHL team winning championships in the same year. And the city of Miami is very close to having 2 teams at least competing for that championship. Going to be nuts. All right, when we come back, Ron, you were out on Tuesday, correct?
Yes.
I was saddened because I forgot yesterday to bring up a bit of news that I was dying to share with you. All right. So we'll have that when we come back.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
A little Pet Shop Boys on a Throwback Thursday, 1986, Hands Across America. So you were out on Tuesday, and I forgot to bring this up yesterday, yeah. So it's totally my fault.
That's all right.
But I was so excited. I was like, oh, too bad Ron's not here. Because on Tuesday, I broke the news that the NFL is actually going to Green Bay for the NFL draft in 2025.
Yep. Now, let the pilgrimage begin.
For those who, if you've listened to the show a while, we talked about where the NFL could be going in the future for the draft. I think we did it like a week after the draft or something like that. It was around early months. Yeah, there was some time where we were having a discussion about, hey, this traveling roadshow thing seems to be working, and cities that don't have Super Bowls could get this, and it's like pretty awesome. You got hundreds of thousands of people showing up. And then we talked about Green Bay. And we said, look, here is this iconic NFL location, Lambeau Field, Vince Lombardi, the Packers, right? One of the original franchises. And yet it's the smallest city by a mile when it comes to hosting. But could they host a draft? Could they pull it off? It's not a big city, but could they pull it off?
Well,
and
in fact, when we talked about it, I can actually tell you the exact date.
Yeah, okay.
We talked about it April 13th.
Oh, away. So we did it way before the draft.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the reason why I know that is because I did have a promo. I made a promo out of the conversation that we were having.
Would you like
to hear it? This is the dry version of it.
This is the promo.
This is the dry version. No music or anything like that.
Green Bay is putting their hat into the ring of saying, hey, we want to host the NFL draft.
I can't wait for that. Is that like Sturgis for Bike Week? Like, is that like where a small town just gets filled with people from everywhere around the country? This is going to be like Woodstock. I'm already in love with this idea. 20 years later, we could have documentaries of people going, we were just a bunch of 18-year-old kids. We didn't know what we were doing. We just decided to head on up to Green Bay, Wisconsin. We didn't even know where it was. We didn't even know where we were going to sleep, where we were going to eat, what we were going to do. We didn't have any money. We just wanted to see who the picks were.
It was a calling.
We just felt it. It got a bunch of people together. We said, would the car even make it? We didn't even know. We just started driving and said, God be with us as we go see the first round pick for our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the rest is history. The NFL, make this happen. Yeah, that was our promo. Because that was our conversation. Like, it's going to be Woodstock.
It is.
It's like Mac Jasper's farm just was like, all right, you want to have a concert? Sure, use this land. And what happened? It ballooned into this. Way too many people show up. They overran the town. They overran the resources. But yet it became a cultural, iconic event, right? It was supposed to be a real concert with real tickets. Like, Woodstock was not what it became. Like, Woodstock was supposed to be, you had to buy a ticket to this thing and see these acts in this location that was supposed to be security, but it got overrun. And I'm thinking to myself, even though the NFL doesn't sell tickets to this thing, it could have a Woodstock-like feel descending on the city of Green Bay. This could be absolutely nuts. If you want to go to a draft, make a road trip to the draft, Green Bay, Wisconsin is a pretty good place to go. They have the Lambeau Field title town. That's exactly right.
I mean, this is what I just picture. I just picture people walking.
Yeah, just walking. They're parking all over Wisconsin and walking to Green Bay.
Yeah, because all the roads are shut.
That's right.
I mean, that's just what happened to Woodstock. Remember, they just abandoned their cars.
Yeah, they just left their cars on the side of the road and just started walking.
We got a vision in our head. We just got to walk to it. And that's what this is what this draft is going to be. I don't know where you can hold it in Green Bay.
Later down the road, there'll be a woman yelling at her kids. I was at the NFL draft, for God's sakes. I peed in a field.
Yeah.
I hung on to Jerry Jones's helicopter and as it flew away. That'll be the speech.
Where
Diane Wiesgaven Parenthood.
Does Green Bay's got to be on the shores of one of the Great Lakes, right?
Yeah, it's Superior. It's on the shore of something. Yeah.
Michigan. I don't know where it is.
Let's get where in the world is Carmen Sandiego to help us out with this.
That's the logic. You got to have it there.
Right. Oh, it's going to be great.
Or do you have it at Lambeau?
Oh, you have it in Lambeau and Titletown, and that whole area where it's like they kind of.
Here's another question: why hasn't the NFL made Green Bay the birthplace of football? I know it's supposed to be Canton, Ohio, but you don't have a pilgrimage to Canton.
This is going to be wild. This is going to be crazy. Seriously. It really is. Like, again, imagine you and your buddies like, hey, man, let's go to the draft. Green Bay, Wisconsin is an iconic place to go. It would be phenomenal. Really fun. They built more hotels, but who needs hotels when you can sleep in your car or on the street?
That's right.
Right? Get a sleeping bag. Find somebody's lawn to plant yourself. Hey, this is a good spot. Can I just sleep? Oh, I guess. It's a draft.
Just hang out here.
You're all going home on Sunday. Yeah, just turn it into one of the greatest events. It's going to be nuts. It's going to be awesome.
No, I mean, it's got to be a pilgrimage for a lot of people. It might need to be a pilgrimage for us.
I think so too.
We might need a broadcast from the shores of Lake Michigan. I just looked it up. It is Lake Michigan.
Lake Michigan. I need to see this with my own eyes. Because think about where the draft has taken place, right? In these locations, these huge parks that they've had. Like Nashville was Broadway, where they just lined up the main big street downtown. Other places is these parks. Even in Vegas, they didn't do it on the Strip. They did it on one of the side areas of the Strip to accommodate the crowd of people. Kansas City was in this beautiful park.
Yep.
You were in Dallas, right, for the draft?
Yeah, I was in Dallas. Where was that? That was at AT&T.
AT&T, same.
Boring. Right.
So, exactly. So this is going to, when I see aerial shots of Green Bay, I don't see, huge areas around Lambeau Field where you could have it. So
no,
it's going to be
a
little complicated, but it's still going to be nuts.
There's got to be a couple ideas, right? What we should do is get our buddy Alex Strofe on.
Yeah, just to tell us exactly what this is going to look like. There's 300,000
people.
Where
can you do it, Alex?
You're getting hundreds of thousands of people that go to this thing. It's crazy fun. It's really fun. So. And you know what it is? As more and more years where they tick this off, off the boxes, more and more people want to go. They want to go. It's free. You just go, have a good time. You mingle with the people that are your fan groups. It's become like a bucket list for people to go to. I'll go to Vegas, or I'll go to Nashville, or I'll now go to Green Bay, Wisconsin in a couple years to attend the NFL draft. So. Good for the NFL for pulling this off. And by the way, good for the Packers as an organization to say, we want this. And they got some hotels built. They've done the planning around Titletown to make this accessible. But I still think it's too small, but too small in a good way. Because, again, I think it is going to have a Woodstock feel. I really do. I think it is going to be.
I'm looking right now, right? There's all these different places. Wikipedia has points of interest in Green Bay.
Right.
I mean, obviously, there's Lambeau Field, but you can't do it there. But maybe they have an area called the Shipyard District. You could do something there, right?
You could do something there? Okay.
That could be kind of fun.
Maybe
it's different.
That sounds good.
I don't know about the, if you could do a, you wouldn't have it at the Botanical Garden. People would ruin it.
Listen to you, Green Bay Visitors.
No,
Bureau.
Again, listen, I am looking at a list right now. That's all I'm doing is just looking at a list.
You work for the Chamber of Commerce.
I'll pack up and move there. Well, Green Bay looks like a nice place.
I absolutely want to experience this. This is now on my things I need to do in 2025.
Yeah.
Let's go to the NFL draft and just see for myself.
You can't do it at a hotel. That's the other thing I'm looking at here. You can't, there's the buildings they have. They have a nice, old theaters. You can't do it. Don't do it inside.
Yeah. Don't do it inside. No, do it outside. Yeah. Like I said, I said this a couple months ago. Roger Goodell, please don't take the brown acid.
Yep.
Yeah. Take the brown acid.
There it would be. It's there's some bad cheese going around.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Some bad cheese.
Don't eat it. Don't eat the brown cheese. Don't eat it. Yeah, exactly.
It has turned.
It's awesome. Oh, Green Bay. It's awesome. Yeah, I can't wait for that. That's going to be fun.
No, that's going to be a really good time.
Yeah, yeah. And this is, again, this is the way the NFL can give cities like Pittsburgh, right. Cincinnati.
Oh, this is...
They've already done it for Cleveland. You're not getting a Super Bowl.
Yeah, why is it Pittsburgh jumped into the 4A
Pittsburgh should easily be jumping into this. Because maybe because the Steelers are like, well, we never pick in the top 10s.
The Eagles, Philadelphia hosted not too long ago.
Right, right.
So you guys got to spread the wealth. You know, it's like you guys got two teams in your state. Got to wait.
Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. I'm thinking of like Denver. Denver should have one. Like, look, the NFL should be realistic. We're not going to bring you a Super Bowl. Sorry, you don't have a dome stadium. We're just not doing that again. Sorry.
Right.
You know, but
this is turning into something. This is
something else.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as large, but you're actually getting a larger fan base.
You're getting a cool event. You may not be getting the Super Bowl, but you're getting an awesome, awesome event. Exactly. Exactly. And this is the way they can make those cities who are never getting a Super Bowl pretty happy. All right. Lindsay Berra joins us coming up at the top of the next hour to talk about the documentary on her grandfather, Yogi Berra. We'll also talk to Cam Rogers on golf. It's all coming up in hour 3.